Let's turn our Bibles over to Genesis chapter 1. And I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. And I want you to feel real good today. Right, fathers? There's a chip on your shoulder. Listen, man. Father's Day is not every day. Don't bother with that lie, okay? My wife don't make me coffee every day. I make the coffee for her every day. But this morning, she made the coffee. So today has to be Father's Day. Even on my anniversary, I'm making the coffee, Brother Barra. But she made the coffee today. Come on, somebody give Jesus a praise for Father's Day. Yeah. And I'm going to soak it in today. Amen. And I want you to do the same. You know, yesterday in our meeting, we were talking about learning to enjoy days, enjoy times. There's seasons for everything. When it's Father's Day, you take it, right? Somebody took me out for dinner yesterday. They don't normally take me out for dinner, but because it was Father's Day, they took me out for dinner, right? So at this time, I got to enjoy it. So let's go over, and this morning I want to let the fathers know that you're in God's heart. Amen? Fathers are in God's heart. Fathers, talk to yourself. Say, I am in God's heart. Right, that's right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 29. All right? And it says, so God created, all right? So God created man. Who he created?
Man.
In his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So there was a him, and then there came a them. You understand that? First he created the man, and then he created the woman, right? Then God blessed them. Now the blessing then flowed to them. He didn't just bless one, but he blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and do what? Unless a man multiplies or gets into the act of multiplying, he is not a father. You have to have children in order to be a father, right? So if the man is not obedient to the word of God and get busy, he's not able to be called a father. If me and Minister Shed didn't get busy, we couldn't have four kids. I didn't look at her, I promise you, and she got pregnant. I know I run that joke sometimes, but no, we had to have gotten busy. Right? Good. Everybody's looking at me weird, like you didn't get busy with your wife. Right, sir? Thank you. Thank you very much. I like when new people agree with me. It makes me feel good. All right, good. So be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Fill the earth. Do you know that yesterday on our way home, Emily said something, or one of the children, they said, do you know that the population in America is going down? Do you know why? We're not obeying the word of God. We're not being fruitful. We don't want to multiply. And guess what's happening? We're not producing enough children. Hence, the population is going down and we're becoming an older country because we're not having children. Do you know one of the reasons people don't marry, people don't have children, is because we get so selfish and we do not want to share our lives with children? We want to enjoy pleasures. We want to travel the world. We want to drive nice cars. We don't want to raise children who will change the world and have an impact and be obedient. Obedience brings a blessing. Amen? He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves in the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray this morning you're going to write in our hearts. You're going to write in our hearts, write in the heart of every father that is listening to me, every man, young woman, every boy, and God, even the women. I pray, Lord, you're going to speak to us in a mighty and a powerful way, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So at the beginning, when God created man, said to him, after he had blessed them, he said, go ahead and be fruitful. When God created man, it was in his heart for a man to become a father. How do we know this is true? Because he said it's not good for man to be alone, so he gave him a wife. And he not only gave him a wife, he placed seeds within man, that man is able to go forth and produce. Now, without seed, you can't produce, right? He gives seeds to the who? To the sower. So then now the man has the duty to go forth, get a wife, and begin to sow seed, right? But I wanted to speak on some things this morning that would affect us and make some imprints on our heart. God knew that we didn't have the ability to create anything. Because the Bible says in John chapter 1, all things were made by him. The things that were created by God. We do not have the ability to create children. It is God that blessed the womb, and God has placed seed within the husband to, or the father, as we say, to go forth, sow seed, and then produce fruit. Fatherhood is so important to God that blessings move from generation to generation. God said to Abraham, you will be the father of nations. You will be what? The father of nations. You know, even in America, they said George Washington is a founding father, and other men that was there at the beginning of this nation, we call them founding fathers. I don't care and who it is that tries to downplay the role of a father in a family. A father is important. A father is vital, because without fathers, you're not able to have children. Amen? All of us sitting in this room has a father. Isn't that true? He may have died, he may have disowned you, but guess what? You got a daddy. And I'm not talking about your heavenly father. Because if my dad didn't show up and got married to my mom, I would have not been able to be standing here. Amen? Because I needed a father, no matter how loving my mom is, no matter how caring she is, no matter how giving, how tender, no matter how good she is, I could not have come without my father. So today I want to tell the men, you are in God's heart. Amen? He said, Abraham, you will be the father of nations. And even if God has to take a miracle to bring to pass the promise of father, of Abraham fathering nations, he had to have done it. Because Abraham was old, his body was frail at that time, but the Bible says he did not consider his weakness, but he believed God. What did God do at that point? He opened Sarah's womb so that the promise of Abraham being the father of nations would happen. You know, in our culture and in our setting, this church's particular setting, we don't see many fathers around. Many fathers abandon their children. Many fathers walk out on the children. Many fathers do not provide for the children. Even if them and the mothers divorce, they do not look back for the children. And there are many broken homes as a result of fathers not taking up their roles. But I want to tell you today, there is a father above all fathers. Amen? He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the way maker. He's the need supplier. He's the caregiver. When the earthly father that he put in place, who became rebellious in, because you cannot tell me you're a father that obeys God and you do not take care of your children. Amen? We have to be men of integrity. Men that love God first and then love our families. God set this thing in motion. He blessed the man. He blessed the woman. And he said to the man and the woman, go forth and produce. Go forth and multiply. I want to encourage every parent in here, especially young parents or young couples. Have children. Have children. Have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you could have 10, have 10. I see you looking at me, Brother Devinja. Have children. I wish I could have 10 children. But I'll take everybody sitting in here. You know, because children are such a joy. Children are a privilege. The Bible says that children are a heritage. They are an inheritance from God. So the next time you look at your children, fathers, look at them. Oh my God, like the best tasting candy you've ever tasted, the best meat you've ever eaten, the most beautiful person you've ever behold, because they are an inheritance from God. Do not mistreat them. Let's go down to the word. I'm not going to be long today. I just got these points to give to fathers. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As a father, your job is not to irritate your children. Your job is not to be unreasonable with them and humiliate them with your words, humiliate them with your eyes, humiliate them with your actions. You know, there are some fathers that children do not like. And it's not because the children are bad, but because the fathers are terrible. There's some fathers that demand so much respect because of their insecurities. They demand so much respect from the children, like the child has to treat them like a god. Children cannot even enjoy their father. Let me tell you something. We ought to be fathers that are loving, fathers that are caring, fathers that are tender-hearted, because if you want to be a good father, look at your heavenly father. Look at the qualities of your heavenly father. He's forgiving, he's loving. The Bible says, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who sent Christ? It was the heavenly father that sent Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Who loved? God loved. God love and relationship with children and fathers are strained, because sometimes fathers are just disciplinarians and you drive your children instead of training your children. Training and driving are two different things. You're not driving, you're not a cowboy sitting on a horse chasing cows, a herd of cows. No, they are your children. And the word of God says, yes, discipline them, instruct them. But that can be done in love. Because who the Lord loves, he chastens. Amen? Who the Lord loves, he chastens. And I want to speak to fathers here and online. Rethink the way you deal with your children. Especially if you notice that you're not able to communicate with your children properly, there's not a smooth flow of communication, that means something is wrong. Something is wrong. If the child cannot come and throw him or herself on you and talk to you with ease and the conversation flows, that means there is broken fellowship. So what do you do with broken fellowship? I'll show you. When there was broken fellowship, God sent Christ. He sent the bridge, the restorer. God is the restorer of the bridge things. Amen? He sent Christ to make a way for us to get back to him, that we may encounter his love, and we may encounter his heart, and we may encounter his affection, and we may encounter his forgiveness. And he may soothe our wounds and bind them up. I want to tell fathers today, your duty to your children is to be tender, not to humiliate, not to abuse them, but be tender. Treat them with loving kindness and tender mercies. Extend your good parts to them. Give them your best. Especially sons, you know. Sometimes sons and fathers, they have a challenging relationship. Sons and fathers have a challenging relationship. It always looks for some reason daddy and the girls are fine. And can I tell you, that's the enemy's plan. It is great. It is great for it to be that way. But the devil wants to break fellowship with men and their sons, because he knows that if we stand with our sons, we are their best example. We hold them together. Let me tell you, whenever I see my dad, I feel so strong, even at this age. When my dad walks in the room, man, I feel secure that nobody can do me anything. Nobody can touch me. I feel his love. I remember growing up as a child, they were, you know, my parents were pastors, so they were always out. Whenever my dad was out at night, there was a fear in my heart that anything can happen. But the moment I hear that motorcycle turn the corner, coming up the block, when I hear that motorcycle coming up the block, all of a sudden, all my fear disappears. They're all gone. My fears are gone. I've been set free. But yes, you know, that has that effect. And I want to challenge fathers. Be initiators. Be initiators. Take the first step towards your son. You might say, Pastor, you don't know my son. And I want to share a story. There was a prodigal son in the Bible. There was a prodigal son that took all that his father gave to him, and he went and he wasted it. And he wasted it in lifestyles that was totally opposite to the standards of his father. And when everything was wasted and done, and he ended up feeding swine, feeding pigs, and he was even eating the pig's food, he came to his senses. But the father was out looking for him, even though he was living that lifestyle, and he was doing his own thing. And he was abusing all the inheritance that the father worked so hard, so many years together. Went and he wasted it. But the Bible says, when he was on his way back home, the father saw him. And the father ran to him. And the father hugged him and he said, "This is my son which was dead, is now alive." You know, sometimes in relationship, their relationship is so dead. There is no connection between fathers and sons. It's as if they are dead. They're just breathing, they're existing, but there's no fellowship, there's no communication. There's such separation. I want to tell fathers today, initiate that contact. It may not be easy. It's going to take you killing self. Because every time you go to show love, self comes up and say, "Don't you remember what he did?" Imagine, you know, the Bible, we have to be like our Heavenly Father. The Word of God said, God does not deal with us according to our sins. Oh, what love the Father bestowed. A father's job is not easy. It takes a lot of heart and a lot of forgiveness. And as your children get older, you have to express more forgiveness. Because they're becoming more man and more woman. So they learn to talk new things and learn to speak in ways that you never thought they'll be able to speak. Because when they're little and cute, oh, they're so sweet and cutie pie. Cutie pie grows up to be a devil. Yeah, and you're like, what happened to cutie pie? And you're looking at the baby pictures and you're crying in the house. Where did she go? Where did he go? But did you ever think some of the things you did to your parents? Yeah. So fathers, we ought to train, discipline, but not provoke. Not provoke your children. The way you train your children, train them with love. If you're going to give your child a spanking, make sure they know why you're giving that spanking and do not abuse them. Say, "I'm spanking you today I'm going to use my son's name, Tio. This is for you being disrespectful to your sisters. Right? He has three sisters, and he's always challenging them. And he's always giving them a hard time. He's very sweet to you guys. But to the sisters at home, he gives them such a hard time. Right? So he's always challenging them, because I used to do the same thing to my sister. When she would teach me in Sunday school, I would give her such a hard time. I was so disrespectful, and I thought, you know, I was the best thing. But then what? When I go home, I'll get a spanking, and I'll be corrected. And I never felt abused. I never felt abused. So the same way we must do with our children, even when correcting them, when you're disciplining them, let it be done with love. Right? Good. So, remember that fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And I want to talk to the children for a few minutes. Now, children, your job is to obey your fathers. Honor your father and your mother, that your days will be long. And the children went downstairs, we need to bring them up now. Right? But children are to honor, hold them in high esteem. Hold them in high esteem. When you see your father, you do not say any and everything that comes to your mind to your father. He is the head of the home. After God, it is the father. You ought to honor him. Hold him in high esteem. If you think you're holding the president high, you need to hold your father above the president. Because if it wasn't for your father, you would never see the president. If it wasn't for the father, you can't even wear those nice clothes you have on. You can't wear that nice shirt, that nice suit, if it wasn't for your father. But sometimes when we get older as children, we tend to feel like we're better than our fathers. Young men especially, we feel like we're better. I'm telling you, the challenge is with men. Because the devil knows if he could separate the men, and if he can destroy the men, he will destroy communities. He will destroy communities. We see it in our communities. We see what the men are up to. The men are not disciplined in their behavior. They have erratic behaviors. Whatever comes to their mind that feels good, that is what they do. They forsake their children. They go to parties at any time of the night, leave their children at home. Then the children become vulnerable to the wicked praise. So fathers, we have to get it together, but children, your duty is to honor, hold them in high esteem, care for them, love them, and let them know that they are the best thing. That's what children ought to do. Let your fathers know that they are the best man in the world. When you do that, when you give them the accolades, it encourages them. They say, man, my labors are not in vain. Now let me go to the wives. The scripture says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. Now, without the wife, you can't be a husband. Or you're not even able to become a father. Now, today's Father's Day, without the father, the husband, the wife is not able to be a mother, right? But I want the mothers and the wives to encourage the men in your life. Men deserve respect. The woman likes the love and the nice care and the nice gift, but if you would just tell your husband, you are such a good leader. You provide so well for this family. You help to keep things together. You are the glue that holds us together. If you would serve him, if you would make sure he has his food, if it's simple, let me tell you something. Men are so easy. Men are not complex, you know. Men are very easy to please. You just give the man a little tender love and care, keep him warm at night, he's good. Say it again. I like when new people come to church and say amen. Because the people at Faith Church are shy. No, I'm telling you. That's all. Men are very easy. And if women or wives would understand that, submit to the man. Give the man the lead. Give the man the lead. Let him lead the family. Now let him lead in the wrong ways. Now if he's going to do the wrong things, you must tell him, hey, man, in a respectful way, you know, hey, Sam, you know, I don't think we're going down the right road here. You know, hey, John, I don't think this is a healthy decision when it comes to our family. No, I don't think this is a healthy decision for us pleasing God and living God's way. I'm not telling you to become a slave to the man. No, no, the word of God never said that. But what he's saying, you must love him so much. So just like how you submit to God, right? That's what we do, right? We come here and we submit to Jesus. Oh, Jesus. But we go like, what are you doing with the man? You can't say you love me who you don't see, but the man that you're married to, that you're not taking care of the man. When the man says, I'm feeling cold, you're like, okay, that's your problem. You feel cold over there. Get a blanket. You understand? So I want the wives. Listen, wives, I'm giving you a challenge. Encourage the fathers. Encourage them. Give them some TLC, tender loving care. Don't suck your teeth when the pastor preaching. I see somebody go. The eyes of the Lord. Yes, man. Because let me give you the scripture. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord says, it is not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible with him. Let me read Amplified for you. Now, the Lord God said, it's not good, meaning it is not beneficial. It is not beneficial. It is not fulfilling for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him. So when God gives the wife to the husband, the wife has everything the man needs. Everything the man needs, woman. Everything. But if you would look within yourself and also look at your husband and look at his needs and look what he needs, you know, and give yourself over and say, I am your wife. What is it you need, sir? If I don't preach like this, I'll do you an injustice. Because you'll be asking all these questions, wondering how the thing is done, and you don't know what to do. But this is what is needed. I want you to encourage fathers, because fathers go through so much. There's so much depression, fathers, and there's so many fathers that are failing, and then they see shit, failure around them. And some of them don't even have an example how to be a good father. They're so insecure. They grew up with so much hurts, and they don't know how to show love because they were never shown any love, and they don't know how to show affection because they didn't grow up with affection. Listen, the struggle is on. And it goes from generation, just like our blessing goes from generation to blessing. Curses go from generation to generation. Homes are breaking up. People get married. They do nice big wedding. They invite everybody. Soon as they have a few children, the father don't know how to father the children. Then the wife started complaining about it. And then the two of them start to fight because nobody fathered him. He don't know how to father. And then end up divorced because she says, I'm leaving you because you're not a good father. Truth. And guess what happened now? The children grow up without the father. The young man grows up without the father. The cycle continues. The cycle continues, church. So I want to urge all the fathers in here, hold it together. Do the best you can for your children. Do the best you can. The Bible says God blessed them He didn't just bless the father, he blessed them. So both of you have to come together. The entire family unit has to come together and make the thing work. Forget the past, church. That's how we don't hold on to the past. Forgetting the things that are behind and press forward. It's not going to be easy. You got to press. You may not have been the best father. Let me tell you, there is hope. You know why there is hope? There's life. Once there is life, there is hope. And you have hope living inside you. Jesus lives on the inside. All that you need is provided in Christ. The ability to be the best father. I just give you the guidance. Don't provoke your children. Love them. Discipline them. Give them. Be the initiator. Do not wait for your children to always come and fix things. You take the first step and make things right. Amen? Let's go over. I just want to read this scripture to Psalm 25. And this is the Psalm 128. This is the foundation here. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Look at this, what it continues. Verse 3, it says, your wife, your who? Who has a wife? A husband has a wife, right? Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. If you will fear God, if you will put God first, if you will put God at the head of your life, it says your wife will be a fruitful vine. That doesn't mean she's only bearing children, but in all aspects, in the wide spectrum of things, she will be a fruitful vine. Because when you're a man that fears God, you obey his word. And the Bible says, love your wife like how Christ loved the church, give himself. So that's what you're doing, because you fear God. You're going to love her so much now. So when people love you, all you want to do is do the best for them. So you love her. And here comes the blessing now. We want the blessing, but sometimes we don't want to put in the work. It says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Meaning your children will be soothing, productive. Olive plant. The olive plant was so important in the time this word was written here. Because oil is money. Remember when the woman needed to pay off her debts? What she paid with? Oil. Oil is money, meaning your children are going to be productive in your family. Here? Like olive plants, beautiful around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. And watch it continues. The Lord shall bless you out of Zion. Zion speaks of heaven. The blessing from heaven will fall upon you, fathers, when we fear God and we put God first. And may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. This is what God wants to do for fathers. He wants you to have a long, productive, enjoyable life. You know, God don't want you to be stressed out. God don't want you to be broken. Listen, if there's brokenness today, present it to the Lord. Casting all the cares upon him, for he cares for you. I don't know where you came from. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know the roads you've walked before you got here, but I want to show you a road to walk from here on. From here on, put God first. Fear him. Trust him with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I'm coming from. And that's fine. And that's totally true. But I want to tell you how to redirect things today. Put God first. Casting off all the burdens on Jesus.